right, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, August 30th, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is. To be sure, it just gets stranger all the time. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chatango.com for interesting and lively discussion. Let's begin the day with kind of a nod from yesterday. I mentioned I was going to hold off on this, but I'll just skip straight to this, I think. Yesterday I mentioned the subject of learned helplessness and the way that it we are conditioned into a state of learned helplessness, to be sure. And apparently I'm not the only person who has noticed this, which is not surprising. If you're paying attention, anyone who's paying attention, I think, and really understands what learned helplessness is, we'll see that in Sun Tzu meets Machiavelli sort of fashion, and I think Machiavelli is more diabolical than Sun Tzu because of the fact that Machiavelli doesn't disclose the fact that he's writing about war as openly as Sun Tzu does. Machiavelli's political warfare is war, but without declaring war, as I've said before. But we are conditioned essentially into, if you have any sense of self, if you're not just a cog in the wheel, a cog in the machine, but you see what's going on, it seems all but impossible to make any kind of meaningful change. And that's just not true. There are a number of folks who have, and typically those folks are experts in their field, or at least well-respected and have been in their field for quite some time. And I mentioned yesterday, for example, you have folks like John Taylor Gatto, Charlotte Isserby, and Dr. Michael Kaufman, who did a yeoman's job of forestalling Agenda 21 and getting the word out. Imagine where we'd be if he hadn't done what he'd done after the 1992 Rio Earth Summit and so on. We'd obviously be considerably further down the road. It's unfortunate that we have to fight the battle that we have to fight, but alas, we are relegated to it, you might say. Then there was I forget what it was called. That Michael Kaufman participated in. Oh, it was the as he mentioned in his biography, he played a key role in stopping the ratification of the Convention on Biological Diversity Treaty in the Senate an hour before the Senate was scheduled to vote on its ratification. That was the cloture vote, which is not a vote, really. So, I mean, imagine not having someone like Dr. Michael Kaufman standing in the gap, so to speak, in those moments. And there are a number of other folks. One of those that comes readily to mind is Gary Kaa, who's written a number of books, was also a fairly well-placed government figure before he started his own whistleblowing efforts, so to speak, books like The New World Religion, which really I should pull out and read from, draw from, particularly in light of some of the subject matter that I'll cover today. But the point is, I mean, there are a number of other folks, and you can just as an example, there are a number of folks, the News with Views website, among others, D.L. Cuddy, Constance Cumby, a number of folks that are listed as authors, obviously, that have, I mean, even unsung heroes like Phil Hart. It's interesting. I was asked recently, do you know who Phil Hart is? I said, constitutional income, do you have any? And it just went right over the person's head. Phil Hart is, he's been one of the folks, and that there are folks at a local level who have done great work all over the country, unsung heroes, and then other folks across the country who have done the kind of work that the Charlotte Isserbys, D.V. Kidd is another one. She's been sounding the alarm for quite a number of years and pointing people's attention at some very important information. I haven't looked lately, but I would imagine that the old PDF copy of the little pamphlet by Benedict LaRosa titled Democracy or Republic, which is it? The handwritten note that's beneath the title that says, with permission from Benedict, that is a little 8-page PDF document that is still posted on D.V. Kidd's website. It's, I think, one of the most important primers on what the heck is going on in America. We never hear that America is a constitutional republic. Why is that? Could it be because of the shift that I was talking about? But I digress. Dating back to 1871 and the hijacking of the constitutional republic, the consolidation of all duly constituted branches, functions, and powers into the administrative fourth branch, which was formalized back in 1946 when Congress passed the Administrative Procedure Act. Senator Pat McCarran said, we have created a fourth branch. Yeah, we don't learn about this, but I digress. So the point is, there are a number of other folks, many of whom I'm not mentioning. Unfortunately, they escape me at the moment, but there are a number of folks who, in spite of this learned helplessness conditioning, have sounded the alarm and helped us on our way. Folks like Bill Cooper, for example. So, obviously, we can also perhaps condition ourselves to ascribe to learned optimism. I'm not a fan of that term per se, but anyway, I want to give you an excerpt. I mentioned learned helplessness and learned I want to give you learned optimism in conjunction with last week's emphasis on B.F. Skinner, etc. in view. This is a clip James Corbett on Learned Helplessness and Learned Optimism, Corbett Report Extras. And the clip is from the Boiling Frogs post roundtable on Why Are Americans So Apathetic? Why Are Americans So Apathetic? James Corbett gives a short lesson on Learned Helplessness and Learned Optimism. It's brilliant. Go ahead, please.
You're listening to the Corbett Report.
I think that there's the danger in this type of conversation of extrapolating from our own personal experience and personal psychology and then wondering why everyone else isn't quite like that. And I think we have to approach this from a more scientific approach. And there are scientific ways to approach this question of why people basically give up. And I'd point to some research that was conducted at University of Pennsylvania, I believe, in 1967 by Martin Seligman, who did a famous set of experiments. He was in the Skinnerian behavioral conditioning school of thought. And so he was doing conditioning experiments with dogs, including experiments that involved giving dogs electric shocks. So experiments that probably would not be conducted any longer. But at any rate, at that time, what they did was they took three different groups of dogs. The first group were simply restrained in a harness and then let go after a period of time. The second and third groups consisted of yoked pairs of dogs, so that a dog in group two was attached to a dog in group three via an electronic device or what have you, so that they were not only harnessed, but they were actually delivered electric shocks. Now, the dogs in group two could end the shock by pressing a lever. The dogs in group three had a lever, but the lever did nothing. It did not stop the shocks. So for the dogs in group two, the shock came and they could press the lever and end it. So there was a clear sort of connection between their action and the ending of the shock. For the dogs in group three, it seemed completely random to them whether they could stop the shock when it came, when it ended, so that it was completely out of their control. After the experiment, they discovered that the dogs in group one and two actually recovered quite quickly from the event, but the dogs in group three showed signs of chronic depression. So what they then did was they took these three groups of dogs and they put them all equally into this fenced area with a low barrier around the floor. The floor was electrified so that they could deliver shocks through the floor, but the dogs could quite easily jump over the little barrier that they placed around it and get out of the way of the shocks. The group one and two dogs invariably would jump out of the way of the shock. The group three dogs actually lied down passively and started whining, taking the shocks when they could quite easily avoid them. And that was interesting and quite a startling result because it went against sort of the tenets of Skinnerian behavioral cognitive models. But perhaps not that surprising for the social engineers who have known for a very long time, for example, that you can restrain a 10,000-pound adult elephant with a puny little rope, not because the elephant can't break the rope, but because they have been trained since birth with heavy chains tying them up since the time they were very small, that they can't break free of their harness, so that when they actually get big enough that they could quite easily do it, they don't even try to do it. This is, again, a very, very common thing among many different species, and of course, humans fundamentally no different. We can be trained into what this is called learned helplessness, and we can be trained into that by simply being in situations where nothing we do seems to actually affect anything. We have a lever, but it does absolutely nothing. And I think that's a perfect model for what happens in our representative democracies, where basically we have the lever of the voting booth, and it does absolutely nothing. You can vote for Team Bush or Team Obama, and the same drone killings, unconstitutional wiretapping, and all of this continues to go on, and people arrive at that point of learned helplessness. Nothing they do can make any difference. Now, Martin Seligman actually went on to develop a theory of learned optimism. He basically split humanity into pessimists and optimists, and he developed a test that you can take online to determine whether you are fundamentally optimistic or pessimistic. And he found that the pessimistic were by far the majority, and people who were more likely to be prone to depression. And he linked that with that cognitive model of people who basically feel that whatever happens, it's their fault and there's nothing they can do to get out of it. And so he proposed a model of learned optimism in which he speculated that you can actually train yourself and provided some research to back this up, you can actually train yourself to become more optimistic and thus more in control of your own actions and the effects that they cause. And basically, this was an ABC model of cognitive understanding of adverse events. Adversity, belief, and consequence. So if, and the example on Wikipedia, if someone cuts you off in traffic, that's the adversity. The belief is, oh, what an idiot. He's so selfish. He's so rude. The consequence, you become angry and you start yelling profanities at the other driver, which is an experience I'm sure we can all relate to, me personally as well. But he proposes to add a couple of extra letters to that ABC model. D, disputation, where you start questioning your negative beliefs about that and what caused it and what you can do about it. And then E, energization, which means that you can actually then positively overcome that situation by basically becoming conscious of your own reactions and trying to work around them. Now, there's debate about his own learned optimism model, but I think at any rate, it provides us some context to this that I think puts it in a very clear way that this is not something that's only an American phenomenon or even a human phenomenon, but I think a phenomenon that transcends species, and it relates not just to brainwashing. It's not just brainwashing, although of course there's the media social conditioning element to it, but I think it's a cultural milieu. It's an entire context, an interlocking web of social and political institutions that make it so that it seems that nothing we do actually matters.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Thank you.
Welcome back. So briefly on the subject of learned helplessness and learned optimism, I agree with James Corbett in that clip that we played, which again is titled it's the clip from the Boiling Frogs Post roundtable on Why Are Americans So Apathetic, but it's titled James Corbett on Learned Helplessness and Learned Optimism, published August 14th, 2017. As part of the Corbett Report extras, I agree. I'm not a fan of learned helplessness, especially when you understand where how it, from whence it was derived, and what it has been used for. To me, learned helplessness visually is best represented in that picture of the post 9/11 era, that image of the person on the, I think it's a milk crate with outstretched arms, the hood over the top of them, with electrodes essentially on either finger, outstretched arms. That's learned helplessness. And this is what we've been using in the war on terror, really terrorizing folks. And as I mentioned, Jane Mayer's book, The Dark Side, is a good primer on that. She mentions Mitchell Jessen and Associates, Dr. Martin Seligman, and how Seligman's work through Mitchell Jessen and Associates particularly was leveraged by the special ops community to coincide with some of these very aggressive efforts, including P2OG, for example, the proactive preemptive operations group that goes around what they call stimulating reactions from the world. Well, the problem with that is when you go around poking the world in the nose, sooner or later somebody is going to react, whether they are guilty of anything or not. And when you think about how many dozens of folks have been snatched and grabbed from places like Yemen and held without charge, with no formal charge, no formal or even in some cases implied connection to any terrorist group, it's no surprise that if you have – think about it. If there were Americans held, if some country came and snatched dozens of Americans – and held them for 10 years or more, and at the same time was bombing that place, arbitrarily it seemed, in a sort of scorched earth policy, and was funneling weapons to other countries like Saudi Arabia to bomb them to kingdom come at the same time, applying all kinds of other pressure like economic pressure that just makes a wasteland of this country, wouldn't you be outraged? Wouldn't you be frustrated? That was happening to you, and yet we are surprised when once in a while folks from Yemen, for example, are unhappy with the way that they've been treated, they and their countrymen. It's no surprise when you hold somebody for 10 years or more on no formal charge in a place like Gitmo, and then you let them go, that they're wound up and they're ready to pop and do something bad. That's what's supposed to happen, unfortunately. Anyway, we'll get back on topic. When we come back, stick around more right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. So we heard from James Corbett in the video, James Corbett on learned helplessness and learned optimism, drawing from Dr. Martin Seligman. It's interesting, you know, I mentioned, to me, Seligman is sort of a Joseph Mengele sort of figure. And everyone is so enamored with him. I mentioned a few years ago, you know, seeing what he has done and seeing what he has contributed to the military and special operators in particular, and this P2OG policy of going around the world stimulating responses in the dead of night is a very, I would say, diabolical, despicable, underhanded practice that just provokes conflict, is really what it does, which is what it's intended to do, but I digress. So if you know his history, then it's utterly astonishing, but maybe not, that he was put in charge of the comprehensive soldier fitness program to evaluate and hopefully improve the mental well-being in particular of soldiers. And this was about 10 years ago, but I mean, to have essentially a Mengele in charge of soldier mental fitness is, I mean, it's just beyond words, shocking. So as James Corbett points out, you know, the guy who pioneered learned helplessness is probably not a guy, I mean, I have misgivings about the whole learned optimism theory, like James Corbett said, but we have to relearn how to process this information and what to do with it. And interestingly enough, I mean, I like the way that James said that, but interestingly enough, here we segue right back to the Bible. The founders told us that virtue, morality, and religion are vital and essential to the Constitutional Republic. Indispensable. And I mentioned in the past the myriad of quotes to that effect, Patrick Henry calling them the great pillars of all social and political life. And he said, if we lose these, then we are conquered, fallen indeed. Ben Franklin, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison, et cetera, et cetera. It was a common theme, you might say. Virtue, morality, and religion. Without these, we are conquered, fallen indeed. And that's what's happening now. You look at the protocols, for example, and whether the protocols really are an authentic document or some kind of apocryphal creation, and what's happening is merely coincidence. Either way, there are points that we seem to be following on a continuum in this society, and one of those is the moral degradation or the moral decline of this society. And again, that correlates to the theme of, or the subject of, virtue, morality, and religion. Without those, we truly are, as Patrick Henry said, conquered, fallen indeed. It's interesting. As you look around, I used to think, you know, you think of the little old ladies, for example, that always get done up. They always make themselves up to go out in public or even to see their husbands or their loved ones or whatever. And that's cute, and it may seem unnecessary, may seem a bit extraneous or even over the top to some people. But then if you go look around in public these days, there are websites like peopleofwalmart.com, for example, that chronicle the misbehavior of Walmart customers or patrons or what have you. But if you go to hotels or restaurants, for example, I think that's an interesting place. You know, if you go to a hotel restaurant or a restaurant close to a hotel, you'll see these days a bunch of people in their pajamas. And now I understand. If you see that in America today, and this to me is just kind of one indication of where we're at, so to speak, as far as that is concerned, the continuum of moral decline. No one wants to see everyone in their pajamas, I don't think. A restaurant is not a place for a pajama party. And yet that's what you'll see in many cases these days across this country. And so now I long for the days of the little old ladies that cared enough about themselves and the people around them to make themselves up before they went out into public. Men who got dressed up to go to breakfast, even. Where are those days? And now we just don't really care. And it doesn't matter because we're all narcissists anyway, who are completely detached from our fellow man. The narcissist, as I've said before, doesn't really even acknowledge that there are other people in existence. They are all, to the narcissist, just an extension of self, just an extension of ego. So why get dressed up if you don't feel like it? Because after all, you'd only be getting dressed up for yourself, right? This is the sad reality we find ourselves in. So it requires a rethinking, as James Corbett pointed out, to deal with this issue of conditioned learned helplessness. And I'm not a fan of learned optimism, but while I'm not a fan of learned optimism, the subject of relearning and proper behavior segues right back to the Bible, right back specifically to that passage in 2 Timothy, chapters 2 through 4, on how to deal with this subject matter. So I'll just give you the salient points from there. This is the, you know, even if, speaking of virtue, morality, and religion, even if the Bible is just a guide for better living, and it's much more than that, obviously, because without Jesus Christ, there is no better living. But that's a decision we all have to come to on our own. So that's the most important message that it conveys. But that notwithstanding, 2 Timothy chapters 2 through 4 kind of are a great guide in the spirit of the founder's admonition that virtue, morality, and religion are indispensable to freedom and individual liberty. And after all, isn't that what matters in this society? To get folks to understand that the greater good, it's all for the greater good, is really an oxymoron. It's a snuggie. It's a one-size-fits-all concept that doesn't really fit anyone. How can it be for the greater good when there is no individual in this concept? If you don't matter, if you're just a cog in a wheel, what greater good does that serve? If all are miserable, how are all happy? But I digress. So the salient points from 2 Timothy chapters 2 through 4 as it pertains to this subject. Paul writes to Timothy, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, not perfect, but faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." This is kind of in contravention to this name it, claim it, prosperity gospel nonsense that says you won't have a hard time ever in your life, the Joel Osteens of the world. Live your best life now. Bunch of nonsense. Suffer hardship. The Bible says you will suffer for Christ's sake, so to speak. Suffer hardship with me, Paul writes, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, as a good soldier. Aha. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him. That is a sobering reminder. Paul writes, it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Be diligent, Paul writes, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. It's a good reminder. And the vessels Paul talks about now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. And this is a parallel passage of Romans chapter 9, verses 18 through 24 in particular. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And this is also a feeling of joy and fulfillment that you will receive. Now flee from youthful lusts. Here are the specifics on how to behave. Now flee from youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Okay, so pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But what about everyone else? What about, as James Corbett mentioned, the traffic situation? With, I feel like he was talking to me specifically. Traffic is my biggest pet peeve in life. But regarding the others, Paul writes, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And continuing, how am I to conduct myself? The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. But be kind to all, even in those traffic situations. Able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And it's all right there. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 26, beginning with refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, concluding with the last part there. It's all right there, really. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. But, you know, things are getting difficult. We're on a continuum that seems to be following the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, and specifically the moral erosion that we see taking place generation after generation. Watching people with their children, I'm astonished these days that people let their children talk to them the way they do. Just haughty, disrespectful. It's shocking. So what are we supposed to do? Same thing. Be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. The fifth commandment is the first commandment with a promise to children. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. And yet you see the complete opposite in America today. But this is no surprise, because again, Paul writes to Timothy about that. He says, beginning in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, not might, will. For men will be lovers of self. Remember 2006, Time Magazine, Person of the Year, you. Remember the mirror on the cover? Same year, 2006, narcissistic personality disorder became an official disorder in the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual. What a coincidence, huh? For men, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant. Have you listened to these one-up conversations? Revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. Interesting how that is phrased. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Strong words. And then the apostasy. Skipping ahead, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. See the theme of patience, self-control. We'll be right back.
Expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
My friend, feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't want that use me stuff. I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back.
My brother.
So to conclude that thought, difficult. Here's where it's challenging enough. You know, you used to be able to talk sense to people. And it's also, I think, a good reminder, Stephen Covey's point about perspective change. You know, the example he gives of the guy that gets on the train, the subway, I think, and his kids are with him. And he seems kind of detached from their behavior, sort of despondent. And his kids are misbehaving. And the passengers around him are all looking at each other like, who's going to say something? And they all kind of focus in on the person sitting closest to him. And everyone's looking at him with that look that says, well, aren't you going to say something? And so finally the person speaks up and says, hey, do you think maybe you could kind of rein your kids in a little bit? And the guy seems to kind of wake up from a trance and looks over and says, oh yeah, sorry, I guess I probably should do something about that. We just came from the hospital where their mom passed away. How would you like to be that person who says something to that guy? You'd feel like a schmuck at that point. So you never know. We never know what one another is going through. And it's very difficult. Most people wear their emotions on their sleeve at work. And places like that, I recently overheard a conversation at a big box store. Two employees, one helping the other at customer service, the person behind the counter in the employee capacity talking to the other employee. And she was talking about how her ex-husband was stalking her and sending her all kinds of crazy messages and things. And I just thought, I don't know why you're talking about that in public, but all the more so in your work capacity, that is completely inappropriate for your professional capacity. I felt embarrassed and ashamed that I was hearing it. Apparently the look on my face didn't convey that enough to censor the conversation, unfortunately. So this kind of stuff happens, but this is not surprising. And you used to be able to talk sense to people, but getting back to what Paul writes to Timothy, beginning in chapter 4, this kind of stuff is not surprising. We'll talk about that and move on. We come back. Second hour coming up right after the short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, They understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.